Russia is making preparations to hold next year's State Duma elections 3 months early. So what's that all about? Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL. Joining me here in the studio to discuss the things we expect to make news in the coming week in Russia is Pavel Buturin, senior producer for RFERL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome, Pavel. Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you. So there have been hints in the media for weeks now that the 2016 State Duma elections might be moved up from December to September, and now it looks like it's happening. On Friday, a bill was submitted to the Duma, and today, Speaker Sergei Naryshkin urged its passage in comments reported by TASS. So it's reasonable to assume that this will be appearing on the Duma's docket in the coming week. Conventional wisdom is that holding elections in September rather than December is advantageous to the authorities. Turnout will be lower. The warmer weather means many voters will still be at their dachas, lessening the impact of a protest vote. And this would make it easy for the authorities to manipulate the result by flooding the polls with state employees and using other administrative resources. Pavel, it seems to me that despite Putin's 86% approval rating, the Kremlin is frightened of the voters, no?
Well, yes, about his approval ratings. Indeed, his 86% approval rating is now legendary, isn't it? But as Russia's most popular opposition leader, Alexei Navalny, said in a recent interview to Radio Liberty, 86% is a rating of emptiness. There's simply nobody else on television. And if popularity ratings had been conducted in the Soviet Union in 1983, maybe Konstantin Chernenko's ratings would have been at 99%.
So the regime is not as popular as it's commonly believed to be.
Okay. No. Why do parliamentary elections matter in Russia anyway? Let's not fool ourselves. Even if any opposition party is making it into the Duma, we won't see a drastic change in Russia's domestic or foreign policy. But it's a process. Democracy is a process, again, to quote Navalny. And so I think more people are now interested in the election process despite the whole seemingly, growing approval for, of Russia's actions in Ukraine and Crimea. But there is a lingering, I would say, discontent with the government policies inside the country.
You were just in Russia. Did you see anything that pointed to Miskin? You were in your native Nizhny Novgorod, as I understand. Did you see anything that would point to maybe a voter revolt? I mean, with these elections, we're talking, they're a year and a half away, first of all, or a year and a few months away. But yet the authorities appear to be nervous about them and already appear to be manipulating the election date in a way that would get them a better result. On top of all this, we got governors resigning like crazy. So we'll have earlier gubernatorial elections in several regions in this year. It looks like they're afraid of the voters. The economy's getting worse.
Well, I would say that locally, on a local level, of course, people who are interested in politics and in voting, they were more interested in local elections rather than the Duma election. And they're interested in seeing more new people in their local legislatures.
Right. Now, one of the things that crossed my mind when I saw the manipulation, what looks like a blatant manipulation of the election day to benefit the authorities, is the ghosts of December 2011. Because we didn't think the Duma elections mattered then either. But the feeling that the election was falsified led to the largest protests in Russia since the breakup of the Soviet Union. Maybe they want to prevent something like that. Maybe the elections do matter, and maybe they are afraid of not so much.
Are you saying the Russian authorities are afraid of a Maidan style uprising?
No, I mean, I don't think a Maidan style uprising in Russia is possible, but they're afraid of any uprising, to be honest. And 2011 did spook them. And so maybe it's not.
Most certainly.
Maybe it's not some opposition figure getting into the Duma that scares them, but the specter of the elections being a catalyst for some kind of protest. It's the only thing I could think of here, because you're right, the Duma doesn't really matter.
From my observations, I can only say that there is a general climate of suppression, of mild suppression at this point in Russia, where everything, all free thought is basically suppressed on every level. And in that regard, I think, yes, you're right. The government is somewhat afraid of some sort of popular discontent.
Did you see senses that the economic crisis is beginning to bite?
Most definitely. Even small business owners have complained that that sanctions are affecting their businesses. Restaurant owners are definitely affected. But even on a different kind of level, any sort of production, be it glass production or, whatever, manufacturing, everything is affected by Western sanctions for sure.
So the economics are beginning to bite, and that, again, people vote their pocketbooks and people behave politically according to their pocketbooks. So maybe that could be a harbinger of something.
Absolutely.
Something to come. Anything else that's on your radar screen right now, Pavel? I know you're keeping up with the news pretty closely.
Well, I'm waiting for another manifestation of this new wave of Christian Orthodox Christian fundamentalism in Russia. With everything. With the so-called public chamber now proposing a new course in Russian high schools to teach children the moral foundations of family life.
Uh-huh.
That would be a course that would be taught by Orthodox priests in
uh-huh.
violation of the Russian constitution. And and there's a whole plethora of
this is just the latest in a series of things like this that's come up. What was your sense? Again, you were just in Russia. When we look at the news from the outside, we see this wave of kind of you call it Orthodox Christian fundamentalism. I guess that's as good a characterization as any. Is there any indication that people actually like this? Is this kind of tapping into a nerve in the people, or is it something that people are ignoring? Is it something? How do people react to this?
A lot of people are, to my surprise, are reacting positively to any such moves, But on a different note, at one of the major Moscow train stations at the Kazansky railroad station, there's a life-size cutout of a Russian soldier, liberator/conqueror, pictured in Sevastopol.
Uh-huh.
And people are, I wouldn't say lining up, but like I've seen people, getting their face into it. And I think
this is in Kazansky Voxel in Moscow, the one
yeah.
you tweeted. Yeah,
oh, absolutely. And I think to me it sums up the general climate in Russia where people are very Krim nash.
Right.
Crimea is ours. Yet they're, and they're very patriotic, and there's like a wave of neo-patriotism, I've been told. And yet there is a lot of discontent regarding Russia's involvement in eastern Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to add that Pavel tweeted that photo in Kazansky Voxel on his Twitter feed, Rus Police Watch, which anybody that doesn't follow by now should be following. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. We'll be doing this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast, and joining me has been Pavel Buturin, senior producer for RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Join us again next week, and now I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.